I'm Paul Foster for WNCW. Welcome to this week's More to the Story as a part of Morning Edition. We get a chance this week to visit with the Asheville Citizen Times. My guest is editor and columnist Casey Blake. Casey, good morning.
Good morning, Paul. Thanks for having me.
Always a pleasure. Let's first discuss a story by Joel Burgess with the headline, Defund Police, Gun Violence and Lessons from Oklahoma Could Steer Asheville. Tell us about this one.
This is a great deep dive from Joel, really just kind of comparing a city with a little bit more precedent on what is popularly referred to as defunding police, but it's essentially divestment and reducing funding for police and allocating it elsewhere. There's a look here at a city that's a little bit further down the road in Asheville. Right now, the city is looking at reimagining the way that they're funding police, and really it sounds like just about everything's on the table, so it's a big moment.
As you mentioned, officials have the strategy called invest and divest, but they also are doing an online survey that started as of Tuesday, September the 8th, where the public can give their input to this as well.
That's right. Yeah, the city is doing this online survey, which absolutely everyone should really weigh in on. I think they're going to be watching that very closely, and also a series of 9 listening sessions to really just reimagine and hear from folks. I think, especially as council members form their votes, they're going to be listening closely and going to be wanting to cite constituents weighing in. So if folks haven't seen their voice represented, especially, this is a great time to weigh in and see what you want to see done with the city budget.
I know when we go back over things that have happened, not only in Asheville, but across North Carolina, across the entire nation, when it comes to the police and some of the things that have certainly been looked at on the negative side, City Manager Deborah Campbell would actually like to implement these changes even before the end of the month. Is that right?
Yes. So I think the city, between reparations, between this divest and invest strategy, you know, they've really wanted to be ahead of the curve. They haven't wanted to be playing catch up. So yeah, the city seems to be poised to take an aggressive strategy on kind of reimagining where they're putting money and where they're putting public safety dollars, especially.
Joel, and you guys have mentioned this in the past, on the other side, when you are representing the law, you are the police department, they argue their concerns about, say, for instance, their budget being cut significantly.
Absolutely. And it's a very serious concern. I think our new police chief, Zach, is really raising the alarm that if you just disappear dollars and don't replace them with other funding, then folks in the business community are going to feel it, neighborhood are going to feel it, and that folks might be disappointed with the outcome if officers aren't able to serve as they have been in the past.
And to our listeners, especially there in Asheville, continue to follow the Asheville Citizen Times for updates on this ongoing story, and most certainly look for that online survey if you would like to have your input heard as well. This is More to the Story. Our guest is Casey Blake with the Asheville Citizen Times. And Casey, let's move to another story that was recently published and online. It was from reporter Mackenzie Wicker, and the headline was, I-26 connector among road projects facing delays in North Carolina DOT schedule revision. And that I-26 connector is the one that would be around the I-40 interchange, if I'm not mistaken.
That's right. And gosh, that headline's a mouthful when I hear it out loud. But yes, you know, this is sort of the perennial story, right, is what's going on with 26. But, you know, I think the NCDOT is just raising the alarm a bit here about some funding issues, partially, of course, due to the pandemic, but also partially due to, you know, overspending in the previous fiscal year and some unexpected natural disaster expenses that, of course, have ripple effects across the state. It's not looking like this is actually going to impact the widening project, but there could be some significant delays and some hiccups, particularly for the widening of Sweeten Creek Road and the 191 Sand Hill Sardis Road work. Eyes peeled for some shifts in that plan.
Yeah, and I'm glad you mentioned that because we wanted to go over some of those secondary roads that would be affected as well by this. And you've seen this over and over again, even if the topic is not necessarily on the pandemic. So many other things are affected by it. And here we go again. The DOT says pushbacks could happen simply due to the funding not being there caused by the pandemic.
Exactly. It's one of those things where you're probably not reading headlines about NC build bonds, but now when we're looking at significant delays, the proposal, it sounds like, really relies on this $700 million build bonds sale. So it's a lot of minutia until it's causing you traffic headaches. But yeah, this is going to be an important piece of funding to get done.
I assume you're a resident in the area as well, and traffic, just the amount of traffic from the residents that are working and live there to tourists still coming through, even though I know those numbers have been down due to what's going on with the pandemic. You guys deal with a lot of traffic, so when there's construction, road construction involved too, I guess it can be a headache at times.
Absolutely. And I am lucky here in West Asheville to have a good 5-minute commute to the office. But I'll tell you, some of our reporters who live south and have to tangle with this 26 stretch, they might as well be living out of state some days. That traffic can get really serious. So yeah, it's long overdue, and it's a project I know that folks have been holding their breath on for a long time. So we're anxious to see it get done.
Next, Casey, I'd like to give you the chance to talk a little bit about something that's not gone online or to print yet. One of the stories that you know will be one that we should look out for in the days to come from the Asheville Citizen-Times.
Yeah, thanks for that opportunity, Paul. I think you'll see some increased coverage here on this Mo Davis-Madison-Cawthorn race that, boy, is really getting national attention. You know, I think a race that a couple years ago we would have written off as a certainty for one party is now something of a real race. I think we're seeing a big national moment really play out on that race. So look for more reporting on that and some deeper dives, especially with our friends and partners at ABL Watchdog doing some great reporting on that.
Absolutely. And as the days go by, we just draw closer and closer to the big election that's going to be here before we know it. She's one of our regulars here on More to the Story, representing, of course, the Asheville Citizen-Times editor and columnist Casey Blake. We thank you very much for being with us on this particular More to the Story.
Thanks so much, Paul. Appreciate it.
More to the Story also available on our website as a podcast. You can visit wncw.org. I'm Paul Foster.